From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Carol Bousquet with the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, February 12, 2025.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
Plans to expand a biosolids processing plant in Brunswick have alarmed residents who are still coping with the aftermath of a toxic chemical spill on the former Naval Air Base just 6 months ago. Critics of the proposed expansion question why Delaware-based Verity Energy would import PFAS-laden waste into Maine at a time when the state is struggling to process its own sewage sludge. Peter McGuire has more.
Until last summer, the water in Amy Self's well was just fine. But then, 1,450 gallons of PFAS-laden firefighting foam spilled out of an airplane hangar at the redeveloped naval base near her Brunswick home. Now, she and her family don't dare drink the water, which has PFAS concentrations many times above what's considered safe. They wound up paying $35,000 from their retirement account to retrofit their house and hook up to town water.
We couldn't play Russian roulette with waiting for the numbers to either dip or elevate because it is a moving target.
And now Self and many other locals are outraged by Verity's plans to truck thousands of tons of sludge into a growing residential area. They fear that the plant will be a source of pollution that could spread far outside of town lines.
So this isn't just a Brunswick, Maine issue. This is a state of Maine issue because it's a forever chemical. Once it's in there, we have no recourse.
Verity says it has designed, constructed, or operated 10 renewable gas plants in North America. Last year, it bought an anaerobic digester located at the former air base, now called Brunswick Landing. The company wants to expand the operation to make pipeline-quality gas from biosolids, the stuff left over after processing at a wastewater treatment plant.
Our commitment is to ensuring that the project is something that all the residents of the town of Brunswick and all Mainers can be proud of.
That's Chet Benham, a senior advisor to Verity, speaking at a Brunswick City Council meeting last month. Benham says the plant will produce enough gas to heat 3,000 homes. And it will generate 1.2 megawatts of power, mostly going to businesses at Brunswick Landing.
Whether you believe in climate change, helping in the fight against climate change, or you believe in energy independence, projects like this are an important part of not just the New England energy ecosystem, but nationally as well.
Verity says it could process about 85,000 tons of sludge per year. That's roughly the same amount that Maine produces. And the company says it may bring in more sludge, up to 50% of its supply, from out of state. That just doesn't make sense to Sarah Woodbury of the environmental nonprofit Defend Our Health.
We are already dealing with a massive sludge disposal problem here in the state of Maine.
Since the state banned using biosolids as fertilizer 3 years ago, following the discovery of PFAS contamination on farmland, most of Maine's sludge has been trucked to the state-owned Juniper Ridge landfill in Old Town. And it's on track to run out of space in less than 15 years, unless Maine can reduce its sludge volumes. But there are efforts underway to manage the problem. That includes a processing plant in Norridgewock, and a proposal to borrow $50 million to help sewage plants treat biosolids. Woodbury says given those developments, Verity's plan to truck imported waste in and out near neighborhoods already scarred by a PFAS spill doesn't seem like a good option.
To be clear, we're supportive of dryers and digesters. We're working with the department on a bond measure to help some wastewater facilities do this, but it needs to be in the right location, and this is not the right location.
But some say Maine has to do something soon, and it may not produce enough biosolids on its own to justify the massive cost of new treatment facilities. Scott Furman, wastewater director for the Portland Water District, says sludge disposal costs have doubled since 2022. But investing in its own processor could cost the district tens of millions of dollars.
I'm not sure that Maine has sufficient quantities of biosolids to make these cost effective on their own. I believe the state will benefit from having multiple options for managing biosolids.
Meanwhile, Amy Self and other members of the group Brunswick United for a Safe Environment say they will fight the new project at the same time they push to remove PFAS foam from the old air base and demand accountability for the spill last summer.
The disaster that happened in August, it didn't end. The foam was removed, but the actual chemical is still leaching into the environment.
Viridi is now in the process of responding to questions from locals as it tries to get a zoning change it will need to advance the development. At least one town councilor has already said they oppose the plan. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
Career and technical education enrollment in Maine has increased more than 20% over the last 6 years, according to the State Department of Education. CTI programs allow students to begin learning trades, such as welding, engineering, or cosmetology in high school, preparing students to enter the workforce immediately upon graduation. Denali Turbida, a junior mass media student at the Mid-Maine Technical Center, wants to be a filmmaker and says the Technical Center has provided him with opportunities he wouldn't have otherwise.
We learn to film. We get a lot of camera access, like really expensive cameras, which we're very lucky to have.
The state says there are more than 10,000 students who are enrolled in the 27 career and technical education programs here. A dispute between the Hancock County Sheriff and a county commissioner over funding for a second canine team this year has spilled over into public comments on Facebook. Commissioner Bill Clark says he wants to rein in spending for the sheriff's office and that one canine team is enough. Lieutenant Dakota Dupuis says the sheriff's office patrol union agreed to slash the $15,000 stipend to care for the dogs to save some money, but believes the second dog should be kept in service.
Basically, what the union is willing to do is accept less compensation to be able to provide the same level of service that we have been doing and maintain that second canine unit, because once again, we do feel it is a benefit here at the sheriff's office, but also the citizens.
Public comments on the sheriff's Facebook page are almost all in favor of having a second canine team for emergencies. The next commissioner's meeting is February 19th. Maine State Police honored the canine Preacher in a funeral service this morning in South Portland. Preacher, a Belgian Malinois, was shot and killed in the line of duty earlier this month while responding to a domestic violence incident in Portage. Maine State Police Colonel William Ross said it was important to hold a memorial for a canine who protected and served the state. Preacher's handler, Sergeant Jonathan Russell, said he knew the dog was special the first day he met him.
The courage you displayed to me in a testing environment on the first night I set eyes on you gave me constant reassurance and complete confidence that you would be my protector until you had drawn your last breath.
The Maine State Police has roughly 24 canine teams, according to its website. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join Irwin Gratz for Morning Edition starting at 5 a.m. tomorrow. I'm Carol Bousquet. Thanks for listening.